Log Talk Radio.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming round. Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all my years have gone by. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified, I see the fucking look in your eyes. Every now and then I fall apart.
Another edition of Archivist Bets on Sex, Sexy Witches, a podcast from the geek girl's perspective. And I am the recently unemployed Hen Huntress. Hello. How y'all doing? I hope you had a better week than I have, because I honestly had an absolutely shitty week. I was laid off. Let's get some fun on and forget about all of our woes, because we have a big show tonight. This is Preview-rama. We have a preview of WonderCon from the sexy warlock of Orange County. We have a review of X-Men 97, the first three episodes. We have also an early review of the Spider-Weta Workshop with Sandra Ganza Sting, which I got to see in a preview on Monday. And, of course, WrestleMania weekend and the total eclipse is all a week away, which myself and the Dirty Scissors Sorcerer will be in attendance for both of those events. Let me please introduce first my sexy witches once again from Orange County. We have my cousin, my partner in crime and media conventions. We have the man himself. Please welcome to the show, the Warlock of Orange County, Mr. Aaron Kogan. Hello, sir. Welcome to the sexy witches.
Hello, hello, hello. How goes it with you both? I'm so sorry for your bad week. I hope we make things better tonight.
I hope so. You know, just a couple hours not thinking about the friggin' way the world works is a good thing. I don't know if you've noticed, like, not only that, but, like, back home where I used to live in Maryland when I moved down to Georgia, you know, one of the bridges I used to cross every fucking week
right?
to drive in just crumbled into the ocean, into the fucking river. So, you know, I have to think of it this way. I'm having a better day than those guys. So, you know, I'm really, really sorry to hear about that. And my thoughts and prayers go to the construction workers they still can't find. I'm sorry to hear that. But on a more positive note, let me bring on my other sexy witch in Georgia, the Little Hollywood itself. Please welcome to the show from Atlanta, Stone Mountain, the Dirty Southern Sorcerer, the Voice of Violence, the Son of Celluloid himself. Please welcome to the show, Nathan Hamilton. How you doing? Welcome back to the Sexy Witches.
Hello, ladies, gentlemen, and everything in between. It is wonderful to be here with everybody, and it's also wonderful to know that I am a more positive note than a fucking bridge collapse.
Well, you know, most days.
Sliding scale.
Anyway, but I'm so glad we're all here together, and we have a lot to fucking talk about. Before we get into the WonderCon preview, why don't you talk about your trip to Dark Delicacies, which is like one of the best bookstores in the country.
Oh, my goodness.
You got to meet one of my favorite directors.
And we have to talk about your favorite found footage film because I want to find out why. It's Natalie's and my favorite bookstore in Southern California. Again, for longtime listeners, I cannot recommend enough visiting and patronizing Dark Delicacies in Burbank. Del, the owner, is true blue horror fan. He writes tons of stuff that you can buy there in the store. Everyone who works there is just horror family. Can't recommend enough. And this weekend, they had a signing on Sunday of The Last Voyage of the Demeter. And that made my top 10 last year. Dracula on a Boat just fucking hit all the right notes for me. I really enjoyed it. The director was kind enough to sign my one sheet poster as well as the DVD. And the DVD of the other film that he was signing there, Troll Hunter, had sold out. And Natalie and I were prepared to give it up for the Head Hauntress because, as you told me, it is your favorite found footage room. We totally lucked out. They had one last copy. We got the very last one, and he signed both. And we talked about meeting him and talking with him at the premiere where they handed out vampire teeth to the audience. And he's just very cool. And as always, if you get the chance, get your ass up there and visit them and buy from them. But also, take a look at the schedule. This month especially, you would not believe all the cool-ass signings they're doing. And we can talk about the future ones when we talk about future events. The other thing I should mention briefly, Saturday night at the Frida Cinema, the only nonprofit art house cinema in Orange County, and one of Natalie's and my favorite haunts, they did a showing of Victor Crowley, which I had never seen before. Melissa Rose and editor Matt Latham and Dave Sheridan were there in person. I got some stuff autographed up front. I got a couple pictures with them. And then we sat down to watch the movie, and they had a couple handheld mics, and the three of them, talked through the movie about stuff, and it was hella fun. The film itself is really cool, funny. You don't see as many slashers with that level of humor, so I really enjoyed it. First time watching, I really liked it. Dave Sheridan, who I previously knew from the parody of the Scream films, plays a character called Dylan, who is somehow goofier than the character he plays in the silly Scream parodies. Just hilarious. Phyllis is a doll. And editor Matt was really cool and told us a lot of fun things behind the scenes. Not too technical, happily for me, because I'm not a technical guy. But little things like Phyllis's kill, which is pretty iconic. I mean, even without me seeing the film, I had heard of this kill. Apparently, she had to get up a hill in heels and
she can handle that.
And get, you know, a fist and a cell phone up and through to her mouth, all in one take. And she was freaking out because it was just one take. And apparently it went off perfectly without a hitch. But the makeup dude pumping the blood was in the shot. And Matt just, you know, handled, yeah, I pushed in. It was fine.
Damn it, dude.
I love hearing that kind of detail and stuff.
We want, just so you don't know, the director of Last Voyage of Demeter, even though I wish they had stuck to the practical puppet, I had some issues with that movie, but yeah, I understand why people like it. It's Andre Ovdal, who's a Norwegian director. He's actually done some, he can do horror on all rating levels. He's done horror at PG-13 with Scary Stories Tell at the Dark. He did Last Voyage of Demeter. He also did one of my favorite, thank you so much, my favorite found, one of my favorite found footage films is Troll Hunter, which is a Norwegian film. Absolutely a gorgeous, cute little a gorgeous film. And you want to know why I like it so much? It's one of the things that it does that not a lot of found footage does, even though I have seen this coming up more and more, is that the cameraman is a character unto himself. And and in this, have you ever seen it?
No.
I know Nathan's seen it. I don't want to spoil it for you. But first of all, it's steeped in Norwegian folklore. And as you know, I am a huge fan of, like, Norse mythology. Absolutely love it. And that movie is steeped in it, which makes it really, really satisfying. It feels like it's fantasy, yet completely plausible. It makes a lot of you haven't seen it, so I don't want to spoil it to you. So before you hand me that wonderfully signed Troll Hunter, thank you very much. You really should watch it and get back to me, because it is absolutely a fun film. And I used to be park ranger, and the main character, they call himself the Troll Hunter, but his actual job is game warden for trolls. So it's like being in a national park and following the game warden, but instead of mountain lions, they're hunting trolls. It is so much fun. I highly recommend it. Like all,
it's a found footage movie I actually like, which is rare.
He doesn't like any found footage films. As a matter of fact, I actually really want to do a found footage countdown, because there's, you know, found footage is hit and miss, but there's a few found footage films, some that are under the radar, like Unnecessary Death, which a lot of people have not seen.
I don't like any. There are definitely some. But when I first started doing the Son of Celluloid blog, when I was reviewing everything, it was right after Paranormal Activity had hit so hard. And I probably, out of the first 100 movies I got sent to review, 85 of them were really shitty found footage flicks. So I just got to the point where I just cannot handle found footage anymore. But when they're done well, they're done well. And Troll Hunter is done very, very well.
And you know, that's the thing about, and I know some indie filmmakers that were completely, like, guilty of this, that everyone thought that, oh, it's low budget, we can do this. No, just because you're low budget, your writing is more important and your execution than ever.
Amen.
On a found footage film. It is harder to do one. When you get a well-executed one like Troll Hunter out there, it just makes me giddy, especially since it's about monsters.
Oh, right.
It's a creature feature, classic creature feature with great creature design, steeped in folklore. Right up my fucking alley. So it would pair really well with the movie Ritual, I think. I would play it second because it's got more of a lighter sense of humor than Ritual, but they would make an excellent A-B film watch for Norse mythology. So anyway, a cool spin.
Let me ask you both, because you're both bigger fans of Slash than I am. What do you think of the Hatchet series? What do you think of Victor Crowley?
The Hatchet series. I'm a fan of Adam Green as a director. I've met him, and he also directed one of my favorite found footage films. What is it called? Oh my god, I'm totally blanking on it right now. Digging of the Marrow, which is like I highly highly recommend, which is about a gateway to a creature world underneath LA, which is totally fun. I like how the Hatchet films push boundaries. All of them do. Like Adam Green understands his audience very well. And I've always said that the most important thing about being a filmmaker is, number one, is knowing your audience. And Adam Green knows his fucking audience. They want to see blood. They want to see kills. Anytime you give Kane Hodder work is always a plus.
I thought you were done. No, I was going to say, Hatchet 1 and 2 almost feel like they're in a different series than Hatchet 3 and Victor Crowley.
Yeah.
Because, like, the tone shifts. Like, there's a lot of humor in the first two, but in the later part of that series, they really lean into the jokey tone. And I really dig 1. 2 is absolutely amazing. 3 and Victor Crowley, they're okay. But the first couple in that series, awesome. I remember when Hatchet 2 when it was a huge deal when that was released at AMC because they released it unrated. It was the first movie for in forever that had been released unrated. And I remember that being a huge deal.
Oh, my God. I begged so many people to go see Hatchet 2 with me because only one theater nearby was playing it. And I could not get my ex-husband to go see it with me or any of my horror friends to go see it. So I did not get to see Hatchet 2 till it was released on DVD, which I really regret because, you know, I always want, once again, Tony Todd, Kane Hodder, always want to support any film that those guys are in. So, I was a little bit of, but yeah, like I said, I'm actually, Adam Green is one of these geeks, and he is a total dork. The third one was also directed by B.J. McDonald, who actually had a falling out with Adam Green, but B.J. McDonald was the cinematographer on the FP series. So it all comes back to the FP, baby.
The family tree.
So I'm always going to support my boys and my girls in anything they do if I can. And it's so nice to see Donald. You can see his direction in Hatchet 3, and then he goes on to do Shazam. And if you watch, they're very similarly shot. And so is Beats of Rage. They all have that stamp on it. So shout out to BJ and his wife. They're both awesome people. And I hope they're doing well in LA. So Adrian, I love all of them. So anyway, but we got more important things to talk about than reminiscent and nostalgia here. You're about to go to WonderCon. Speaking of nostalgia, but nostalgia on a huge scale, except for I always try to explain to people that WonderCon is San Diego Comic-Con light. It's like the preview of what the rest of the year is going to bring. And as usual, Mr. Kogan here, you are heading there as usual. It's right across the street again from Disneyland, as usual.
It is indeed, yeah. And on Convention Center.
Convention Center, by the way.
Yeah, it's a nice little center. haven't heard yet, and it's kind of weird. Here we are Wednesday, and we haven't heard if the food trucks are back again. Usually they have some really cool gourmet food truck options for us, but haven't heard anything yet, so fingers crossed. As you rightfully say, the shorthand for WonderCon is Comic-Con's little brother or little sister, and the emphasis is much more on comic books, more like Comic-Con used to be back in the day, and less on Hollywood and celebrity, although in past years, there have been quite a bit of Hollywood attendance. And actually this year, there's a bunch of stuff to look forward to as well. As far as the deets go, Friday runs 10 to 7 p.m. Saturday runs 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Same on Sunday, Easter Sunday. One of my favorite booth signs at any convention of all time was on Easter Sunday, "He has risen, but our prices have dropped." And that's, you know, kind of the attitude.
Top-notch marketing right there.
A little bit irreverent, but a hell of a lot of fun. IDW, which is a major comic publisher, is going to be there. Super 7, which is one of my favorite alternate toy brands, is going to be there, and fingers crossed, they're bringing the brand new Trash and Tar Man.
I don't know what I did to them, but Super 7 absolutely hates the idea of me having money and does their absolute damnedest to separate me from it at every chance.
Aaron, did you see the new Slayer action figure they just released, the Super 7 in?
No.
Google it right now.
It's gorgeous, dude. It is gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. And, of course, everyone saw the Godzilla Minus One they released, which is, like, was on fucking stage at the Oscars, by the way. If you look, one of them had it on stage.
Yep.
So when they got their special effect Oscar. So and it looked like they had the prototype, too, for that matter. So the director had the prototype in one arm. So, but, yeah, Google it and look at it. It is absolutely gorgeous. It's Satan in all of his glory, which would be a great thing to buy on Easter Sunday.
The Easter Sunday Slayer special.
Yeah, man. So, you know, and Slayer, of course, is reunion and then going back on tour because they can't retire either. Nobody knows how to retire anymore. Everyone has the Miyazaki plan of retirement, you know.
Right?
So, man,
you are not wrong.
No,
I'm very excited for a trash figure that I can afford because Leanna Quigley is often seen at some of these conventions. I actually have met her and got an autograph photo for a friend of mine in Germany. She really is. She's a doll and a half. And every trash that I've seen starts at $80 and goes up from there for some reason. So a $20 one, yes, please and thank you. I'll be picking that up and then, you know, keeping fingers crossed I run into her again soon. This evening, speaking of dropping money, I actually dropped a little bit of coin on a Predator from the first film action figure and a, let's see, two Alien Funko Pops and one Beetlejuice. And the Predator I'm going to use tomorrow night, Richard Chavez, who played Pancho, the interpreter in Predator, is actually going to be at a showing at his VFW hall where he's a member. So I'm going to go early and have some drinks and hors d'oeuvres with appetizers with a bunch of old vets. And then we're going to watch the film. And then Mr. Chavez is going to answer questions and answers. And with a little luck, he might sign my Predator figure.
So that's at WonderCon?
No, that's tomorrow night.
Oh, that's tomorrow night.
That's at a VFW hall in Los Angeles. But there are a ton of people up that are going to be at WonderCon. Gail Simone, who's one of my absolute favorite comic book writers, both DC and Marvel, is going to be there. Actually, Eckstein, who people know from the animated Clone Wars as Ahsoka, is going to be there. Marvelous Marv Wolfman, who,
ooh, yes,
pardon me, a fucking Marvel legend, seriously. Steve Englehart's going to be there. Bill Sienkiewicz is going to be there, who, again, one of my absolute fucking favorite artists of all time. Even if you don't know comic books, you've probably seen his Daredevil work from the 80s and 90s and his work on New Mutants at the same time. He's, I hate to use iconic because everyone uses it, but goddamn, the man is. Let's see, Todd Land and their stuff's going to be there, $7 a pop. Has a whole bunch of Disney actors going to be signing autographing Funko Pops of various princesses. Natalie's favorite thing is Artist Alley. And I can't really argue with her. We never, ever, ever walk through Artist Alley without taking stuff home, which considering how many posters and prints I have is a little dangerous right now, but fuck it. They have a weird new fun thing this year. You get a stamp card, and they're doing kind of a rally thing with different prizes if you complete it. And you go around to the various booths and you get discounts or there's special things you can get, but also you get stamped and you finish the card. And that sounds like it's going to be fun. And then I guess the main thing is comics, comics, comics. You're going to find a good dozen and a half vendors that are just bins and bins and bins of comic books. If you want to spend the scratch, you absolutely can get some cool-ass golden age stuff. But most people like me take a list of what they're missing right now and, you know, fill in the issues that you're missing.
I have actually called WonderCog the flip show, because there's a lot of like used vendors, and it's the same idea. You go in and there's just all these like dudes, some girls, but mostly dudes, hunched over boxes of comics just going flip, 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 flip on the floor. It happens a lot. That's what WonderCon's about. It really is. And it's also the best for small batch, small print.
Yeah.
It's better. Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con always has a decent section on small print. They still do to this day, and I really appreciate that. But they focus on it at WonderCon, and I think that is awesome. So, you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're so right. My image of WonderCon is actually this memory I have of Doctor Strange in full outfit standing across from me as we're flipping comics at each other, going through box after box. That's WonderCon to me.
Yeah, it is WonderCon. Totally. And you mentioned the Disney presence, and they often have a bigger Disney presence there than they do at San Diego. So, you know, you can definitely get, you know, because they usually save their big guns for D23, which is also at the Anaheim Convention Center often.
Exactly right. And tickets just went on sale for D23 Expo. It's going to be in August. And actually, when I'm done with you fellow sexy witches tonight, I'm probably going to be scoring my tickets for those, too.
Oh, boy. Nerddom at its finest. So that's one thing about having L.A., you know. You can't get enough of it.
Can't get enough.
Spoiled brats you are.
No, you're 1,000% right. And guilty as charged, Your Honor. I'm living the geek championship life purely because I lucked out on geography. I get to see and do so many things because I am just a lucky son of a bitch. I get that. But, you know, I'm reveling in it while I can.
Until you bring it home, and then Natalie's like, where the fuck am I going to put all this shit? You know, not that she cusses, but that's what I say. You know?
Yes, yes, but she actually did approve my purchase of the Alien Queen Funko Jumbo Pop tonight. So,
oh, okay, good.
mad love and mad props to my geek wife. She said, yes, we need that.
Natalie is a hero.
she really is.
Really is.
Speaking of vendors, no DC this time, no Funko, which is a hell of a hit, and no Bandai. But because we... Yeah, I'm not too happy about that part. But that means we didn't have to mess with the portal stuff because there's no thing to sign up for to try and get a chance to get a signing or whatever. So hopefully things will be a little easier. We do have some pretty cool-ass panels. Paramount Plus is got a lot of Star Trek for us. We're going to get the premiere episode of the last season of Discovery, which is coming up, I want to say, April 4th.
Yeah,
we get it a little earlier than y'all. So that's going to be fun. The thing that I'm just, you know, beside myself that I got to do it. There's a panel that's doing a sing-along for Subspace Harmony, which was the much argued over musical episode of Strange New Worlds. People either love it or hate it. If you liked Once More with Veeling from Buffy the Vampire Slayer back in the day, you probably love it. If you don't, you probably hate it. And my good Trekkie friends, Lynn and Neil, actually couldn't get through the episode. They turned it off early, which I've never heard them doing that to a Star Trek before. I loved it. I thought it was fun. But, you know, what the hell. Collider is going to be there with a panel, Directors on Directing, which I have not the details on, but I think I better peep that to see what that's all about. We're going to get trailers and all kinds of info on upcoming things like the new Fall Guy movie, Abigail, which I cannot fucking wait for more of that.
Nathan is not looking forward to it, but I kind of am, especially since I found out it's an indirect adaptation of a Mary Shelley novel. So now I'm even more interested in how they're going to pull
actually,
that off.
The second, the new trailer that they've released actually has me more intrigued than I was initially.
Okay.
Oh, right on. I'm actually going to get a bunch of friends together, and we are going to go opening night, I'm hoping. Natalie's brother, his favorite genre of film is women kicking ass. And I think, you know, a vampire ballerina child will fit that and that he will be happy with this. But, yeah, I can't wait to see what that's all about. We're also going to get new stuff for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get new stuff, trailers and what have you, for The Strangers Chapter 1, Chucky Season 3, the current or just started new season of Resident Alien, and they say Ghosts, which I'm assuming is the American Ghosts and not the, as Natalie would say, far superior UK Ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have friends who like the American one, maybe not as well, but, you know, what the fuck. Dark Horse is going to be there, of course. They've got a whole bunch of stuff that crosses over into horror as well as, you know, straightforward comics. They're definitely a booth that I will be checking out. McFarlane Toys, which has been making cool-ass horror shit forever, including, of course, Todd McFarlane's Spawn. Todd is going to be there in attendance.
Nice.
Hasbro is going to be represented. Sideshow Collectibles, which is some beautiful high-end stuff that I can't really afford, but what the hell? Celebrating their 30th anniversary. And, you know, even if you can't afford to buy these things that look like they belong in a museum, they're still hella fun to look at. Her Universe will be there accepting portfolios as well as doing some sort of, I don't know, a mini version of the fashion show that they do at Comic-Con, but always fun to check that out. There's films going on all the time. Geek and anime have their own rooms, some of them going till midnight and better. Tons of stuff on tabletop games and role-playing. There's one panel on tabletop games design that I'm interested in, and there's another one on how to level up your Dungeons & Dragons game, which sounds like fun. Inglorious Trexperts, who I follow on the Twitter tweet, are having a conversation with Max Avery, who is the author of Masterpiece in Disarray, David Lynch's Dune, an oral history. And there's actually a signing at Dark Delicacies as well, but I'm really interested in hitting that panel up. The panel is described as we're going to talk the sublime joys of Dune 1984 and share a restored, deleted scene from the film.
Oh.
So I'm down. Right.
And very timely as well.
Yes, yes. And then, you know, most of my time, let's be honest, will be spent on the show floor. There's 820-plus exhibitors with Funko Pops and pins and T-shirts and action figures, and you bloody well name it, they've bloody well got it somewhere in there. And it's just about, and Ms. Goldstein, who played Vasquez from Aliens.
Oh,
is going to be there signing. And,
nice.
And she was the horrible mother-in-law until she got, you know, packed by a Terminator.
Well, and she's also one of the lead foils in Near Dark, one of the best vampire movies ever. Yeah, so,
my favorite of all time.
Goldstein, but Vasquez is my hero. I mean, it's funny because, you know, there was this whole thing about people playing, and I was like, nobody ever, and then someone tried to bring her up, and I'm like, nobody knew. A lot of people didn't even know Jeanette Goldstein was English until well after the film was out. So
absolutely right.
Leave our actors alone. It was a great performance, and Vasquez is one for the history books. You know, Aliens is still one of the most fun action pictures out there. You know, so
top three of all time: Raiders of the Lost Ark, in no particular order. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Mad Max: Fury Road, and Aliens.
That sounds like a hell of a marathon right there.
Right?
I showed my evil genius and her best friend a while back, Aliens, and they loved it, like every minute of it, because it's so girl power. It's been fun now that they're in their like preteen teenage years now that I can show them all this stuff. Matter of fact, I've been rewatching, by request, Black Mirror with them. Well, they're actually here in town right now. And we've been re-binging Black, and it's been fun
with the caveat, the quote, but not the one with the pig fucking.
Yeah, not the one with the pig fucking.
I thought that was pretty funny.
We did not watch the very first episode. I was like, it's not that bad. We just watched last night.
They said they wanted to watch Black Mirror, but not that one.
But it's funny, we've been watching most of them, and first of all, they're all, why does every episode have a lot of sex, which is what, and I'm like, well, not all of them have a lot of sex, but just most of them have sex. But the other observation they had to actually take a break, because the last episode we saw was the season 3 premiere, which was the one about the bees, that the mass murderer that uses the bees to wipe out half the population of London. And that one truly freaks both of us out. I actually, and Nathan knows this, I'm allergic to bees, so watching that episode completely freaks my shit out too. But I'm trying to get them before they leave to get up to MC McAllister, because they did greenlight the season 5, and they're opening with a sequel to MC McAllister, USS McAllister, and I'm so excited to see that one. So
is that going to be a spin-off series or just a follow-up episode? Or
it's the first episode of the new season of Black Mirror. Is going to be a sequel episode.
They've never really truly. They were going to spin off season 5 into a horror series. That's why 2 of the episodes have horror theming over the science fiction. But even though I think most of Black Mirror is pretty friggin' scary, but they've never actually released the horror spinoff. So I don't know if they're actually going that way, but they are doing a new Black Mirror. So there'll be a new season coming out in 2025. It's going to drop at the same time as Stranger Things. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to be watching a lot of Netflix in that month. So it sounds like WonderCon is awesome as always, and it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to have no money left, as usual.
yeah.
You can always take a break and go get a corn dog.
Yeah, always get a corn dog, although the food trucks don't happen, it is kind of fun to make a big old picnic lunch with, you know, a couple bottles of vino, some cheese, whatever, and, you know, take a little break in the front. It is supposed to rain this weekend, so we'll see what happens there. We need that, like, I don't even know. we even had rain last weekend. We are so far over, but, you know, what the hell, we'll take it. The only last thing I wanted to say about WonderCon is there's a little something for everyone. In addition to the superhero stuff, in addition to the comic book stuff, you can find meetups on breaking into the industry, you know, in comics, in movies, what have you. For horror fans, there's even stuff. There's a panel I'm interested in on Friday called From Candyman to the Blackening, that looks at representations of blackness and horror.
Nice.
And like I say, a little bit of everything for everyone. Check out the panel listing. Check out the schedule of guests, and let your feet take you where they will. I guarantee you, you'll find something.
And it's not like San Diego Comic-Con where you literally have to train and plan and have backup plans to your backup plans to do stuff. Because it's a smaller show. There's more time to do it. And you can actually – and you can be a bit more deliberate on what you're doing, unlike San Diego, which, you know, the great liney name, as we – or Line Con, as we all like to call it.
Yeah, Line Con, it absolutely is. Don't even get me started on Hall H. You bring up a good point. Like Comic-Con, they do not clear the rooms between the panels. So if there's something you really want to see, you might want to get there earlier. But for the most part, it's pretty easy to get it in, into most panels. For some reason this year, they're not using the big arena, which makes me say they're maybe not expecting as many people. We don't have a count, obviously, yet, but my understanding was as we went to show, tickets are still available for everything.
That's amazing. Usually they're sold out by now. I mean, that's actually kind of stunning and a little concerning, honestly.
A little concerning, yes.
Yeah, we don't want to lose WonderCon because, like I said, it's the last accessible con on its level.
That's a good point. You know, we've seen a sort of a balkanization of conventions with big cons like this maybe not doing as well as the specific conventions that are anime or are horror or what have you, or Star Trek. And I wonder if that's a trend.
We'll have to see. You know, right now our country is going through some major, major changes. So who knows what we're going to be like this time next year, you know? Well, let's keep our fingers crossed that there's still plenty of geekery to enjoy. Speaking of geekery, this is a great transition because we're talking about comics and the most anticipated comic adaptation of the year has finally dropped on Disney Plus, and that's X-Men 97.
Yes.
I'm assuming all three of us have seen all three episodes, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, yes.
Just making sure. I knew that Nathan had saw three episodes because we watched them together. I will be honest with you. I watched the entire original X-Men series, and yet I totally forgot how deep dive and how intricate and convoluted the X-Men universe is. So I've been watching these shorts on Screen Crush, which is this YouTube guy that Nathan introduced me to, and he's been going over and explaining all the stuff and all the backstory, and he did a full recap of the original show, and I'm like, I totally forgot like 80% of it. I was like, oh my god, all this shit happened. I forgot.
And he has a cute little doggo as a co-host.
Yeah. So, how are we feeling about the new series so far?
You're not wrong that it's much anticipated. I remember going to the panel at Comic-Con where they announced and had character design and da-da-da. And people were, you know, it was probably the most anticipated fandom thing I saw at that particular con that year. And I'm really enjoying what I've seen so far. I'm kind of laughing a little bit at the incel reaction to it because, I mean, not to shoot fish in a barrel, but guys, this is the X-Men. It was always about being woke. Since the first fucking day, the whole thing was allegory for, you know, racism and othering the LGBTQ community and da-da-da.
In a world that hates and fears them.
Thank you.
I find it rather baffling. Of course, I've heard the same thing about people saying about the Star Trek universe, and I'm like, have you even been paying attention since the 60s? What's going on? I mean, really? You know, they had the first African-American woman in a major role. Matter of fact, Martin Luther King, the famous story that Martin Luther King said, stay on the show because you are doing more than I am, which is kind of amazing to say, you know, because she was front and center on people's televisions.
And she wasn't a maid. And she wasn't. Yeah. She was an officer, and well, you know how I get.
Let's, like I said, let's not shoot some incel boys in a barrel right now. But as a show so far, I'm actually pretty satisfied with it. I think it has it has a new tone, yet it totally honors the past. Obviously, the animation has stepped up its game quite a bit. I really like that. I like how Jubilee is more of an active participant in the story than just the teenager that needs to be saved, even though there is a teenager that needs to be saved in the story.
I like how they've added Morph back to the team, and they're using him to give little cameos to characters we're probably not going to actually see in the series, but they just want to give a shout-out to. I think that's really clever.
It's really clever, yeah.
I do think there's a slight accessibility issue because unless you, like, know about the original X-Men TV show, you may not understand what's happening. And I'd actually like to talk to someone who hadn't seen the original show to see what they get out of it because, like I said, I forgot some of that stuff, and I had to go back and, like, remind myself about Madeline Pryor. Like, Nathan remembered Madeline Pryor and got all excited, and I was like, Madeline Pryor, oh, yeah, the clone, you know? But I totally forgot. Like, it's buried in my memory, kind of like Jean Grey, you know, and I have to pull it out and remind myself, you know, oh, yeah, this happened, Savage Lands, you know, all this stuff. But so far they seem like they're cherry picking from some of the comic books and kind of blending, putting them in a blender and hitting puree and coming out with a new product. And I'm kind of excited. I'm glad Sinister's going to be the big bad. That makes me happy. Go ahead.
And definitely, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say, I think the tone is a little more mature as well. And so far, it serves the material really well. I am a fan of the old series, but I'm also looking at this as sort of a springboard for the live action introduction of X-Men into the MCU, which we haven't had yet, and we're going to get with Deadpool and Wolverine.
There is one black eye on the series right now that people like have missed. The showrunner for the series, I don't remember his name at the moment. He actually was fired recently. But he got all of season two written, so it's actually already in production and being animated. So we are getting a season
two.
Did we
find out why?
No, they never said why. It was a sudden thing too.
I read something on Twitter, and I have no idea if they were being serious or not, but somebody said
articles.
Something about an OnlyFans thing. Is that for real?
I have no idea. We should probably look into that, because either way, if the problem is that it is so convoluted, you do need someone who understands the show to keep cohesive. If it starts getting written by committee, it's going to just become a big old mess and be season five all over again. You don't want that.
There is one other major, major black eye on this series. It's not the fact that Bishop sounds like Frylock. That's incidental. But it's the fact that in the theme song, in the original, there is this very distinctive bell sound at one point in song. It doesn't sound right without it. I need that one little tone in there. And every time we watch the opening, I just have to go ding at that point just because it doesn't sound right without it.
I also like how, like, Magneto, they just leaned into Hottie Boy with Magneto in the series. Because, like, boy, he's all, like, buff and cute and hot. And, you know, I guess because there's this whole female fan base that actually thinks that, you know, that Magneto is a babe. And I'm not saying they're wrong, you know.
Speaking of Magneto, what I thought was really cool in the second episode when they did the trial of Magneto was just how many of the frames were, like, exact recreations of panels from the comic when that story was going on.
Nice.
Yeah. It, you know, a lot of people don't understand why he's wearing an M I highly recommend them going to Screen Crush and watching those Easter egg shorts, because they really have been helping me. Because, you know, I did read Uncanny X-Men, but I was like a teenager, so I don't remember much about it. You know, there's panels straight from Uncanny X-Men in there, and other X-Men properties and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really hoping we get some crossovers with, like you said, with Hulk and Iceman and Spider-Man. I really want to see
that.
That
would be amazing.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
So we can bring it into the MCU, and maybe it'll be the new energy, because I don't know if about you, but I find that the MCU movies are suddenly coming pretty stale lately.
Mm.
You know, it's like put superheroes in, put some space in, rinse, repeat. That's it. You know? not much going on. And I'm not even, like, hating on the Marvels movie. I thought it was – there were moments in the movie that were cute, but it was really, really weird. You know, especially the Bollywood number in the middle of it for no reason. And I never want to see Miss Marvel sing ever again if she stays with Brie Larson. Never have Brie Larson sing. No more. No more singing, Brie Larson. go blow up planets. You're good at that. You know, but wouldn't you want to see, like, Miss Marvel and the Dark Phoenix go at it? Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, hell yeah.
I'm down.
Totally down. I'm down for that. So, you know, so let's see if this re-energizes the MCU. I'm looking forward to it. One more thing before we move on to our preview of Sting. There are two trailers dropped, big ones. Beetlejuice dropped. And that one's good. And then there was one other major trailer. I just totally blanked on which one I was going to talk about. This is when you do, when you don't put notes. But what do we feel about the Beetlejuice trailer? The tone of it, and you know, everyone's back. Jenna Ortega is in
except
it.
Except Dad.
Except Dad. But he's apparently, Jeffrey Jones is dead. And the, you know, dead.
Yeah, that's how I took it. It's somebody's funeral.
But that doesn't mean he's really dead. I mean, maybe Jeffrey Jones, you know.
That is such a good point.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing is the Maitlands aren't in it either. You know, so, you know, obviously there's going to be some issues with Alec Baldwin not being in the show. Oh, it was the Crow trailer. What do we think about that one?
Oh, God.
You know, I've been wrong so many times before. My biggest of all time was going, Heath Ledger, the guy from the teenage rom-coms? The Joker? What? I was an idiot. And I'm old enough to remember when people went after Michael Keaton and seriously started a write-in campaign against him. So I'm going to wait and see. I mean, from a visual aspect, it actually looks a little bit like The Crow in the comic books. So I'm going to wait and see.
Here's my thing about that one. Obviously, that is a beloved movie, a beloved star that died making it. Why, during the course of the comics, the novels, everything, there have been over 25 characters who have held the mantle of the Crow. Why not make another sequel and, like, just do it upright this time instead of trying to remake the Eric Draven story and just avoid those comparisons altogether?
That's not a bad idea. And also, if someone were to pass a law, if I had power over Hollywood, I would do two things. One, we need a fucking Academy Award for stunt performers and coordinators.
True.
Yeah, we've talked about that for a long time on this show.
Second,
like I said,
you're not allowed to make a comic book based movie that involves an origin story. We're done.
Thank you.
We're done.
I'm
never
done
need to see Uncle Ben as long as I fucking live. I might actually kill Bruce Wayne's parents if I ever see them on the screen again. Just knock it off, Hollywood.
I remember the trailer I wanted to talk about. I just remembered. Acolyte, the new Star Wars TV series, which is getting a lot of mixed reaction.
Oh, that looks dope.
Yeah, I think
it's
dope. But there's a lot of people that are not happy with it. I mean, like, you hear
shocking.
The, yeah.
Oh,
I know.
My God. You have so many female Jedi in that shot. What are you doing?
You telling me Star Wars fans are complaining?
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
But come on. They're going to have a bullwhip lightsaber. That in itself is worth watching. Right?
Yep.
I mean, I'm so looking forward to that. So I'm hoping it's better than what we got with the last one. What was it? You know, the guy who dies in the first movie, Alec Guinness's character. Oh my God.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Oh no, Andor.
Andor.
You didn't like Andor?
She still hasn't seen Andor.
I still have not seen Andor.
Oh, dude.
I know. I laughed when I saw Obi-Wan, dude.
You must.
I keep telling her, man. Yeah, I will at some point, especially because season 2 is greenlit and being shot as we speak. So,
Did you not like Ahsoka?
Ahsoka was all right. I talked about it on the show.
Which
I
of the series
Ahsoka.
You don't like?
Huh? I don't like
which
Obi-Wan.
Of the series?
I don't like Obi-Wan.
Okay.
And there was moments in Obi-Wan I liked. I didn't like the show overall. I think Ahsoka was okay, but once again, I don't think it was very approachable for the non-Star Wars fan. That was the one issue. However, for a Miyazaki fan, there is Easter eggs all through that show. It was totally a shout-out to Nazca Valley of the Wind in its own way, and I appreciated that. Like, I even, like, showed Nathan, I was like, look at this cover. See that shot? Look, it's the same shot. You know, so even though it's whales and not big bugs, but, you know, it's still, the Star Whales thing is kind of a far-fetched.
Space whales rule. I love
the guy who played Thrawn from Bad Batch, right? Or is that not Bad Batch? That was the other show.
No, that's from Clone Wars and Bad Batch.
Yeah.
Same voice actor.
But he
right?
But he passed, yeah. So it's actually kind of a tribute to him in many ways.
No, it wasn't him.
Oh, it wasn't him?
You mean the Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was the best thing about the show.
He was the one that unfortunately will not be back for season 2.
Yeah.
He was pretty great. And while I understand that Thrawn was not the sexy bitch that everyone loves from the animated thing, this actor has a few pounds on him. You know what? I don't know. I'm just not invested in Thrawn being fuckable. That's not my favorite aspect of the character.
But Magneto is fine.
Oh, yeah, no. As I said, Magneto is obviously a zaddy. I get that. I'm cool with that. And I'm even cool with my fellow female fans, well, not my fellow, obviously, my female sister fans of Star Wars and all things Thrawn, I get that he's a sexy bitch. And I get that you might even be disappointed that the actor is not as hot as he was when he was animated and doing the voice. But if that's going to stop you from enjoying it, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. There was some cool shit in that.
I think that show was more about the Night Sisters than Thrawn anyway.
Here.
And we're getting some Night Sister stuff very soon, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm all about sexy witches, as you know.
That's the other thing I have to tell you about that I got to do. Two sentences. I got to see a screening of Wonder Woman with Patty Jenkins, and
she is so
fucking cool. And she's going to be doing, it's back on again, Rogue Squadron. And that's going to be live action, and she's behind it, and I can't wait. She's so the perfect director for it.
Nice.
And of course, I love the Rogue Squadron because my Star Wars page is called the Rogues of Tossie Station. So,
Exactly. Yeah, and I got a chance to speak with her briefly. She signed my Wonder Woman Funko Pops, and I told her, I'm so glad that you're going to be doing the Star Wars property. She said, yeah, but you're probably not going to see anything for 3 years.
We can be patient. You know, there's plenty of stuff to fill up the geek void while we're waiting. Speaking of which, we actually, one of the things that AMC has been getting right lately, because I really think AMC is bringing down the entire theater movie industry, but that's another time for another show. Is there?
Oh, but they make movies better. Nicole Kidman told us so.
I know. There is they've been doing on Mondays Scream Unseen, which is like a $5 ticket to go see a film that comes out in a week or two ahead of time. And we've been to three of them. The first one was Out of Darkness, which was the Stone Age monster movie, which was pretty good.
It was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, it said
that one's out. That one's out currently. You can see that one. Yeah. That one's pretty good.
It released already. Right. What I liked about it is that it gives you a place that you've never been before, and it is set in a history that most people don't know about humans. So I kind of like that. And then the last one was before this was Lisa Frankenstein, which I was happy to see, but Nathan not so much. But that's the Cavill Cody's recent film. But this last one made me very happy to know what it was, because my evil genius was with me, and it was the evil spider movie Sting, which made me so happy to see, because I actually wanted to see Sting, and now I've seen it ahead. And so, first of all, I want to say about Sting is that it's Weta Workshop at its best. Because Weta Workshop is a beautiful combination of CG and practical effects. And there is a lot of practical effects, a lot of practical makeup. The tension of the piece is good. It's approachable for young horror fans because the lead actress is a 12-year-old girl. So, and it's an R-rated film. But it's really only R-rated, I think, for the body horror elements of it. And they drop the F-bomb a lot.
If they didn't say fuck so much, it would be an easy PG-13, I think.
Yeah.
Your kids can totally go see it.
If you have kids that are into horror, it's totally a fine property to see. Just know that there's a bunch of F-bombs. And it doesn't pull its punches either. There is some really gruesome stuff happening in this movie. It's a solid creature feature. Doesn't quite stick the landing, a lot of horror films have that problem. But still, it's a good old-fashioned horror creature feature. It takes place in New York, and it's set in one location, inside of a old dilapidated town, brownstone. It's got this sense of nostalgia in its appearance. There's a lot of quirky characters, and it has a total homage to Sting. Is that a spoiler? It's the spider is named after the Sting itself, my favorite weapon in any fantasy horror from a fantasy film from J.R.R. Tolkien's, because of course Sting was the why Shelob died. I actually thought for a second they were going to name the spider Shelob, but they ended up naming the spider Sting. But I'm cool with that. It's also comic book geeky. My evil genius is very much into drawing comic characters, so it was perfect for them to go see. They are now 14. So I do recommend Sting if you like good old-fashioned monster horror films. So, Nathan, what do you think?
I enjoyed Sting a lot. The setting is awesome. I really like movies that are set in crumbling apartment buildings for some reason. that makes a great, different rooms make different sets, and really doesn't require a whole lot. This movie, you can tell, was not an expensive flick, but it made the absolute most out of what you can tell was a limited budget. Like, it was a lot of fun, and it's in the top two or three movies I've seen this year so far. It was a lot of fun. I want to second my love for the whole Scream Unseen thing that they're doing, and I really continue it. Cause the idea is you show a movie that's coming out in, two or three weeks, and you get that, everybody gets to watch a $5 movie, and they get the word of mouth out there. So it's a really cool thing that I hope they keep doing, because cheap movies are good, because, we're all broke.
Amen.
But yeah, everyone go see the Scream Unseen movies. Like, just go to the AMC website, search Scream Unseen, because if you keep buying tickets, they'll keep doing it.
Yeah, right, absolutely. And about two out of three times we've gone to Scream Unseen, we've actually seen a friend. show up. Someone Navin knew. So, you know, so the horror
it was funny. I ran into my friend Renee there at the Movie Monday and just so happened to be wearing a T-shirt with his art on it. So it worked out well.
Wow.
So if you're scared of spiders, this movie will officially wig you out. You know, it is absolutely wiggy. I am not afraid of spiders, but if I was, I would be totally wigged out by that movie because there is a sense, there is a disturbing sense of dread all through the film, and I really appreciate it. And there's, you know, babies in peril, little cute doggos in peril, you know, senile old ladies in peril, you know, it's like nobody.
No one is safe.
No one.
Wow.
So I recommend Sting quite a bit if you want a just fun romp that you don't have to, you just can enjoy and be scared for an hour or 30, you know. So, and so we're going to leave the world of media behind and go on to the world. Oh, my God. We got so much happening. Like Nathan and I are actually going to next week on the 4th. We are flying into Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend. So we are going to go not to the big show with WWE, even though right now WWE is kind of on fire with The Rock returning. I don't know if you knew about that, Aaron, but The Rock returned and things have been going crazy over at WWE. People are really invested, like totally invested in the storylines again with WWE.
Yeah.
I would have to say give the credit to Triple H has been a good asset since Vince McMahon's demise. So, you know, last year's WrestleMania was weird because you could tell Triple H had control of day one, but Vince McMahon had control of day two. And you could actually feel the difference on the tones of the show. It was very strange. There was where every match was a banger and had weight to it in one. The day two, there was only two fantastic matches. And the rest of it had no stakes. It didn't feel like there was any stakes involved. And now Triple H has full creative control. Let's see what he can do. But that's not why we're there. We're there because WrestleMania, as you knew last year, because it was in L.A., Aaron, it's not just WrestleMania and WWE. It's everywhere. The GCW has a presence. A lot of indie shows, all of them come around, and they're doing the exact same thing for the Philadelphia show. And since we were going to go up to the total eclipse of the sun in Niagara, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, I had to decide what – I had three airports I could drive to, which were all about 7 to 8 hours from Niagara Falls, because flying into Niagara Falls is nonstop. No way we could do it. It's too expensive to fly into Niagara itself. But I could have flew into Baltimore, I could fly into Philly, or I could fly into New York. The best tickets were actually Philadelphia. They were the cheapest. And I'm like, well, shit, we might as well go a couple days early and go to WrestleMania weekend. So that's what we're about to do. Nathan, would you like to tell everybody the amount of what we have planned? Because it's fucking amazing.
Oh, my Lord. Well, in and out of Philadelphia, around Philadelphia that weekend, there are over 60 wrestling shows going on that week.
Wow.
Yeah, it is any kind of wrestling you like we'll say from one end you have like ICW, where it's all deathmatch, you know, broken glass,
yeah.
And people bleeding all over the side. But in that same building earlier that day, there's a company called Kaiju Big Battle where they set up a miniature city in the ring and people in kaiju costumes wrestle in it. Like anything you can possibly imagine. Yes.
What?
That is the
thing.
I mean, anything from, you know, all the way, you know, every kind, every genre you can go see, like, Tokyo Joshi has the Japanese women's wrestling has a huge presence there. Like all the independents in America, it's awesome. Our first thing we're going to be going and seeing is there's a band called Eat the Turnbuckle. They are a punk band from Philadelphia. Their lead singer and guitar player is my man name of Schlack, who is the current XPW Deathmatch champion. They're known for their shows being violent spectacles where they basically put on matches on stage while they're playing. And at this one, they're going to have a battle royal in the mosh pit at this show. Like, the pit is the site of a battle royal, and all of our, like, a bunch of our friends that are in the deathmatch scene are all going to be in this concert slash match. It's going to be madness. Like, it's going to be absolute insanity. And Anti-Scene going to that show. Oh, God. I cannot remember the other two bands. I mean, Anti-Scene is going to be there as well as Eat the Turnbuckle.
I freaking love the name of the band.
Oh, it's, yeah, check them out. They're a fun band. They really are. And then the next day, we are going to, it's RPW, am I correct? The name of the company?
No, it's called Battleground Championship Wrestling. Is that
Battleground
the name
Championship?
Of...
Thank you.
Yeah. So.
But they are running at what used to be the ECW Arena. Now, I was the absolute biggest ECW fan you can imagine back in the 90s. Are you familiar with ECW?
Yeah.
I went to every show they ever did in the state of Georgia, but I never got to make the pilgrimage up to the ECW Arena. So I'm finally going to get to see a show at the ECW Arena, and then they're doing a meet and greet afterwards where Atsushi Onita, the founder of the Exploding Barbed Wire Deathmatch, a bunch of ECW originals from everyone from Tajiri to the Dudley is going to be there, and that's included if you have your ticket. So I'm going to go get me a picture with Onita and Minoru Suzuki, and then I'm going to head on down to where the collective GCW and Tokyo Joshi Pro and a bunch of different other companies have what they call the collective, where for 3 days, or I think it's four this year, they have one location and just basically have wrestling shows round the clock in this location. And that night we're going to Joey Janela's Spring Break, for the last 8 years, has been one of the hottest tickets on WrestleMania weekend. This year, it looks like this might be the best show GW has put on in years.
Wow.
I'm finally going to get to see more Suzuki, Murder Grandpa. We're going to see Maki Ito and Nick Gage and Danhausen. The Rock and Roll Express are wrestling, for Christ's sake.
They're ancient, too. It's kind of funny. It's like really old, but they are wrestling the East West Express, which is Jordan Oliver and Nick Wayne, who's on AEW now. And so that's like, it's really like old against new wrestling. It'll be a very interesting match. So,
we've got some Japanese hardcore with Minoru Suzuki and Masato Tanaka versus Masha Slamovich and Rina Yamashita. Which Rina Yamashita, she is the GCW Extreme Champion right now. And so it's going to be awesome to see her mix it up with him. And there's, like we said, that old school six-man. There's a six-man from Dragon Gate, which is a Japanese promotion, which is known for their super athletic kind of gymnastic wrestling. There's going to be Lucha on there. There's going to be comedy matches. There's going to be straight-up violence. There's an I Quit match between Effie and Mance Warner. Mance Warner, that's going to be crazy. And that's just the first day.
Good Lord.
The next day, we're just going to go see some of Philly. I need to go see the Muter Museum, and I need to see the Edgar Allan Poe Historic Site. But that night, we're going to Clusterfuck Forever, which is basically, it's the Royal Rumble, basically. It's a match where it's a battle royal where people come in with a staggered entry. But they've usually done one of these as part of Spring Break, but they made it its own show this year. And the fun thing about that is, like I mentioned, every wrestler you can think of is in the city that weekend. And every wrestler is making as much money as they can that weekend. It's like, that is the week you make bank. I know Pentagon, the year I was there when I met up with him, and got his autograph. He said it was his 14th show of the weekend. I mean, they're doing multiple matches a day and everything. But the thing is, everybody's there. So literally anyone could show up in this battle royal. You don't know who's going to be in this thing.
There's a couple of things about the GCW shows that have actually stood out. One of them is Bloodsport, which isn't really a wrestling show. It's more of a MMA, you know, kind of show. But it's
okay.
WWE is allowing one of their women wrestlers, Shayna Baszler, to attend. That never happens. So that is clearly Triple H is influence on making changes, because crossovers with WWE never, ever, ever happen. So that's
actually a
big deal.
This is the first time since Vince McMahon Sr. was running it back in the 70s that WWE has allowed one of their talents to perform on an independent show that isn't where the promotion isn't owned by one of their, you know, previous talents. Like her T's promotion, they'll let someone go there every now and then or something, but he's still involved with the product. But GCW is a completely different company. This is, it's really an unprecedented event for a WWE contracted wrestler to appear on that. And that, just the fact that that is happening opens the world up. Like, that's one of those things. If that can happen, there's really no limits anymore. So, yeah, it's a really cool, like, historic moment.
I would like to go back real quick and talk about Into the Turnbuckle, because I had to pull up the lineup for the actual concert that's happening is actually pretty tight. And first of all, this is actually Into the Turnbuckle's final performance. So that's kind of a big deal. Yeah, they're retiring.
Yep, their farewell show.
The Underground Arts is a strange venue, because I actually, a couple years back, went to a – I don't know if you remember, there was that what was the name of the not WonderCon, because that's what stuck in my head, but there was that Comic-Con rival that had a bunch of shows and then had a big controversy and went under. Do you remember what it was
called? Wizard World.
Thank you. It was it was a side hustle on Wizard World, and I saw Chuck Russell, the director, and Heather Langenkamp do a live commentary on my favorite Freddy movie, Dream Warriors, you know, the third Nightmare on Elm Street film, with Dokken in attendance. And Dokken actually sang a set right before the screening. So this is a very cool little venue. And when they mean Underground Arts, they mean it. You have to actually, it's an old speakeasy, and you have to walk downstairs to get to it.
That's kind of cool.
It's kind of a cool venue. But the comps, I still don't know how they're going to fit people in this place, because this place is tiny. But what's in there, the band Ringworm from Ohio.
Ringworm, that's the one I couldn't think of. Great death metal band.
They're called the angriest metal band on the planet. Anti-Scene, which is basically is a wrestling metal band. They sing about wrestling. They love wrestling. They do this.
They
is
also,
not unheard of.
They also at one point were Gigi Allen's backing band.
So they have a steep history. Ground, which is, I don't know much about, but they're from a local band from New Jersey. And then the one I'm most excited for is Fang from California is playing there. The punk.
Yes.
Band. So I'm like, hell yeah. So I'm on board. And that lineup is amazing, because you have Necro Butcher and Madman Pondo and Akira, all the big, like, there's a lot of great indie wrestlers going to be in this show. So, you know, that's what's great. You never know what you're going to get at WrestleMania. Stardom is doing a show there right before WrestleMania weekend. Ring of Honor has got their show going on. ICW is in Jersey just over the bridge. So is Kaiju Big Battle. I mean, it's going to blow the fuck up. And then GCW is the jewel and the crown on the indie scene. I mean, the collective is just knocking it out of the park this year. And there's something for everybody there. And while I think most of the tickets for the GCW shows are sold out, you still can get some tickets for the for one of the crossovers, the Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling still has some tickets left. It's the last one, Friday, April 5th, 11 in the morning. There's still tickets, so you can still have a chance to go see some of these guys. And then, of course, there's WrestleCon, which is huge,
that's going on.
And the 2300 Arena, which is where ECW was located. I mean, we're going to go see the shows there, but they're having – shows from multiple promotions all week as well, and the WrestleCon Super Show is going to be there too. Even if you know, it's going to blow up. There's so much to do. I'm actually terrified that we are seeing Eat the Turnbuckle first. And this is what a lot of our friends are on that show. I don't want to blow our wad on day one, which is a Thursday, because I can see us like, thank goodness that Joey Janela's show isn't until 7, because even though we're going to get bored at 1, Born to Die at 1. Battleground Championship Wrestling. Because I don't want to like have like a massive hangover started on Thursday. Maybe being unemployed is for the best, because now I'm not going to spend a lot on drinking. It'll be a lot of fun. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm going to be up to my eyeballs in way too much food, but that's okay. Marcia Slamovich is going to be there. So there's plenty of female representation, especially with Stardom being there as well. Go ahead.
Speaking of female representation, there's one match I want to highlight that is just so bizarre that it kind of explains WrestleMania weekend almost, and like the absolute weirdness of the game. It's a tag team match. On one side, you have Nick fucking Gage. If you have seen his Dark Side of the Ring episode, this is a guy who bled to death in the ring and was brought back, then did a prison stint for robbing a bank. And is now back in the ring. He is teaming with Maki Ito, who the whole teen idol thing in Japan. She was kind of washed out of that and decided to become a wrestler. So now she builds herself as the cutest wrestler in the world, and she's this little tiny kawaii Japanese chick. She's a hilarious comedy wrestler, but actually knows her shit. Those two are taking on Danhausen, who we've described on the show before as he's like an old school 70s horror host wandered into a wrestling show and said, "Oh, someone I'm not that familiar with, but I've just been kind of figuring out. Her name is Ram Kaicho. Her whole gimmick is that she's a possessed little girl, which gives her superhuman strength and ability to wrestle people multiple times her size. This is maybe the weirdest tag team match I have ever heard of, and this is the kind of thing you will only see on WrestleMania weekend.
It's going to be crazy. I mean, like, there's the clusterfuck, there's always an invisible wrestler.
The Invisible Man is an entry every year.
Last year there was a blow up doll that actually won a belt.
What?
Yeah, it was actually a great match. I watched that one on Fight Television. It was hysterical. There's this, what's the name of the belt that she won? She won the one that wins
the DDT Heavy Metalweight Championship,
which is a crazy belt unto itself. It even wins other belts. It wins like books have won this belt. It's just like the craziest shit you could possibly think of. So there's comedy, serious wrestling, and then on top of it, you got of course the big WrestleMania show in the background. Every wrestling podcaster and their brother is going to be there. We are not staying the full weekend though. Let's go ahead and move on to our next part of the adventure, Nathan, if we could go ahead.
Wait, there's more.
Yeah, there's more. So after the clusterfuck on Saturday night, I am driving up to the King of Prussia, which is right next door to Valley Forge, and going to stay at my friend's house. But then we are driving from there the next day up to Niagara Falls. So we're going to spend the whole day. We're going to go straight to Buffalo to get buffalo wings. It's about a 7-hour drive from there. And then we are going to stay there for a couple of days because it's in the line of the total eclipse of the sun, which I've been planning this part of the trip for 7 years. That's since the last total eclipse of the sun. I'm a nerd. I love these things. This is going to be the last one on the continent for us until 2044. So this is it. This is the last one in the lifetime. If we miss this one, now there is a risk doing that. Niagara Falls in April is still fucking cold up there, and cloud cover is a chance, but maybe we'll be lucky.
Yeah.
I've been up there three times, and it was clear in April. It was just very cold up there. Now, Nathan has no issues with cold. He likes the cold. But we have planned the coolest thing. There's a drive-in movie theater called the Transit Drive-In up there, which was closed for a long time, but it got refurbished and reopened a couple of years ago. And they are doing an event there for $5 a car. You can go in, and they're going to have bands and vendors, and starting at noon, because the total eclipse happens at 3 in the afternoon, or almost 4 o'clock. So, you know, get there early so you can get a good spot. And they are opening up their drive-in for people that want to see the total eclipse of the sun. So that's where we're going to do that plan.
That's
I already have tickets
cool.
for that. They're going to have the screen on in case it is cloudy with the NASA live feed of the eclipse.
Smart.
So even if for some reason we don't get to see the eclipse itself in person, we'll at least get to see it on the TV and know that we're in the spot where it's happening. And so we're looking – that's on the American side. And then we're going to go and have some fun on the Canadian side. Our hotel is actually on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. And I'm going to show Nathan some of the coolest shit. If you love the cheese, that's Niagara Falls. It is so great. So much fun. Have you ever
and
been
some
there,
legendary,
Eric?
Legendary haunted houses that I'm
yeah.
finally going to get to see that
oh,
have been
wow.
on my bucket list for a long time.
Yeah, you got the house, the Dracula's Castle House of Wax, which there's only two of those in the country. The other one is in Lake George, New York, which is actually a dark ride wax museum. I would really love to take Nathan there. I don't think we're going to be able to do it on this trip, but we might be driving through Lake George. I have to figure that out. We got, and then you have Frankenstein. What's the name of the one? The Frankenstein House of Frankenstein, which is underneath the way famous Burger King, which recently just opened a fucking roller coaster on their roof. I don't even know how that works. But both of these are old school, and they have old school stunts and live actors in both locations. So these are way famous. And then supposedly, and I've done it, the scariest walkthrough in the Northern Hemisphere, Nightmare's Fear Factory, is up there. And it's
challenge
very,
accepted.
Very, very different than any of the other traditional walkthroughs you could do. It is not a one with lots of stunts. It has a few, not very many. It's actually mostly black corridors with a red light, and you follow the red light, and each room represents some kind of fear that most people have. One is about claustrophobia. One is about being locked away in small spaces. If you Google their website, you'll see a bunch of like shots of people going, and stuff like that. Even though, honestly, to get that shot, it's a very cheap stunt. And it's funny because when I did it, the shot of me, I have my arms folded and I look absolutely incredulous. It's hysterical. But I did it alone. Like, I walked in alone. And you would not realize how many people, their jaws dropped when I went in by myself. You know? So,
If my usual reaction to haunted houses is what it is, it's just going to be a picture of me laughing my ass off.
Yeah. So,
having the time of my life. But hey, that's what it's there for.
Also, the largest outdoor mini golf course in Canada is there, and they have full size.
And the largest outdoor and the largest indoor are both right there.
Yeah, the largest indoor one is a blacklight one, like Monster Golf, but it's a Wizards theme. So it changes every once in a while. Sometimes it's sci-fi, but right now I think it's Wizards and Fantasy, so there's dragons.
And I absolutely love Putt-Putt. So
and that's just the tip of the iceberg. Clifton Hill is insane. And that's not even counting the actual traditional stuff, because Niagara Falls, you got Skyline Tower, which has got the buffet up in the top of the tower and right above Horseshoe Falls. Journey Behind the Falls, which I can't wait to take Nathan to, it's exactly what it is. You have to walk down some corridors and some elevators, and they take you to three viewing platforms, one little closer each time. And then you get to this tunnel, and there's two. Actually, I heard they opened another portal. There's portals that are right behind the falls, and it's nothing but noise and power. And it is so much fun. And they recently opened the old power plant and made it into a museum. I don't know if we're going to have time for that, but I'm very interested in what they've done there. So there's actually new things for me to do up there.
Yep.
Also, and Nathan, well, he'll have a sip, but the you know about all those Hershey gift shops in tourist areas, right? They're cool. They're not amazing, right? The one in Canada is amazing, and that's because they have this stand. And it's the only one I've been to that has one where they do these Hershey chocolate milkshakes. You can't even get these milkshakes in Hershey, and they are to die for, literally to die for in Nathan's case. But, you know, they are so fucking good, and I cannot wait to have one. I've been fantasizing about having one of these.
And I'm just super excited because this is my first opportunity to travel internationally. So I'm finally going to break that barrier. Hopefully the first of many sojourns overseas. Well, it's not over a sea, but you know what I mean.
Well,
traveling abroad.
It is over a river and a great lake. So you get to cross.
There you go.
Right. You know, so we're getting close. So Niagara Falls is going to be like, I'm looking forward to it. The more about the total eclipse itself, supposedly this is, there's been a lot of real good activity and solar flares. It's like a record number of them lately. So this is supposed to be even more spectacular than the one 7 years ago, which I got to see in Charleston, and that was pretty cool. And there's supposedly supposed to be an explosion sometime this year. One of those big, it's not a solar flare. There's another name for it, but it's basically like a giant explosion out of the sun. Happens every once in a while. It could theoretically happen while the total eclipse is happening. And if that's the case, that is basically the God giving us the biggest show you could possibly have in the solar system.
Big bada boom.
So I cannot wait. This is it. This is the last one in my lifetime that I'll be able to see. If I get to see that, the only eclipse that I have not gotten to see would be a Ring of Fire eclipse. And there's not another one of those for another 10 years in the United States. So I'd have to.
We won't have a country in 10 years. So, that's not going to happen.
No. So we don't. Well, let's hope we have a country in 10 years.
There's not going to be time with the purge, constant purge.
Long as Frank Grillo's around, we'll be fine on the purge. You know what I'm saying? I'll just hire Frank Grillo to protect us. So,
That'll work.
Yeah. Well, he's a badass. Anyway,
I've got weird deathmatch weapons and I've got cool masks. Bring it on.
is there any questions you have, Aaron, about our trip that you through our ramblings here?
You are going to get some of the wonderful, fabulous raw milk cheeses they have in Canada at some point, right? Even if you can't bring them back?
Oh, you're damn right.
There is 4 minutes walking, because I already looked. There's a poutine shop. Like Nathan goes, look for the hole in the wall with the red and white awning. And guess what? 4 minutes, there's a poutine shop with a red and white awning.
I knew it. Somehow I knew it.
It's open till 4 in the morning. So we can have
also
genius.
On the Canadian side of Niagara, there may or may not actually be a psilocybin dispensary, but that's all I'll say about that.
Yeah, they have all sorts of new stuff. That there's also a really good steakhouse on Clifton Hill that I walked out of there, like, it was $80 Canadian, and then with the exchange, it ended up being just a little over $40 American when I was up there last. Now the Canada exchange rate is not quite as good as it used to be that way, but it'll still be a decent. We want to get a steak. We can get a steak and get it for a decent price. So I might take them to the steakhouse I read about up there.
Fun.
It was recommended to us by some Canadians, and so we're like, okay, and we went up there. Because I will tell you, Canadians are some of the nicest people on the planet, sometimes too nice.
Here.
I've been to several provinces at this point, and every time The Canadians are so nice. They do accept American money in Niagara, so we won't have to worry about that, but it's still the best way to get the exchange rate is to use your credit card. But
yeah,
walkthroughs only take cash. So we have to have some cash to do the walkthrough, at least two of the walkthroughs, the older ones we have to do. So
if you die of fright, there's no red paper trail saying you were there.
Yeah. So you know, have both on hand if you go to Niagara. It is cheesy. Like there's, and in some ways, I agree with the Park Service. It was kind of a missed opportunity that the Park Service didn't make it a national park ahead of time because there's so much stuff built up around it. Yet it is class for its cheese, if you know what I'm saying. It's the best cheese in the world, pretty much. And you know, and not just raw cheese. I'm talking about cheese, roadside duck cheese. It's gonna be so much fun, and I can't wait to do this trip. And
I'm jealous.
Yeah, it's gonna be a trip of a lifetime.
Yep. And I mean, think about it. Next to the Grand Canyon, like what other natural wonders are on that scale? You know, I'm super hyped about actually, you know, we talk about all the tourist stuff. I'm super hyped about actually seeing the falls because
gorgeous. The American Falls is beautiful and rocky, and at night they do project lights on it, so you can see it any time of day. A lot of people, and we probably will do this because we have a car, drive up and down the main road and, like, just cruise it and just enjoy the view. There's even if you like that kind of thing, there's even a zip line that goes into Horseshoe Falls if you like it. Now, Maid of the Mist
really?
Is not. Yeah, there is. Neither Maid of the Mist will be open this time of year. Those don't open till May because technically it's off season. technically. Of course, everyone and their mother's going to be there, but I'm hoping because we're going for the 8th through the 10th. That most people are coming in that weekend. While we're in Philadelphia enjoying the wrestling, everyone else is going up there, and then they'll be all out by Monday. And so Tuesday is our big day to do Clifton Hill and go see the falls and everything. That there won't be anybody there. That's what I'm hoping. At least there won't be as many people because there's always someone there. It's its own world. It is absolutely insane. And once again, I am so stoked that I'm getting to do this with Nathan, son of Billy Lloyd Hamilton, because if anybody enjoys cheese, it's him.
He's the proof that God loves us.
Damn right. Cheese in all its forms.
Speaking of cheese.
Dairy products, movies, tourist kits, whatever.
We are going to definitely do the Philadelphia Pepsi Challenge, which is the Pat's versus Gino cheesesteaks on South Street. We are definitely going to do that at some point. I'm also want to take him to Ralph's, which is literally the oldest restaurant in the United States, and it's a small Italian restaurant in Philadelphia. I've been there
a couple
of times. Yes, sir.
The Philly cheesesteak is, in fact, cheese food sauce, right? It's not real cheese.
It depends. I get mine with provolone. Oh. You can get it with Cheese Whiz. It's your choice. Mine is usually a cheesesteak with, which means onions, and provolone. That's usually what my basic cheesesteak order is. But you can get it with Cheese Whiz or provolone. Like I said, I prefer the provolone. But we'll
which
probably
is
get
traditional?
One of each. Which is traditional?
Or is there?
If I'm not mistaken,
it varies by what restaurant you go to. And there's one restaurant, I'm not sure which restaurant it is, that claims that they were the ones that invented the Cheese Whiz cheesesteak.
Right.
So I think it's a competitive thing between restaurants as to what, you know, who came up with the Cheese Whiz thing.
Okay.
I want to try both.
I always describe it this way. Pat's is the greasy one. It's the older of the cheesesteaks. It's the king of the cheesesteaks, right? And that's the one that you get the gooey, gross one. Matter of fact, one time we got the cheese fries from there, and we pulled the cup up, and the Cheese Whiz kept it in a perfect shape of the cup. Like it.
Oh hell yeah!
And one got stuck to our bumper and made it all the way back to Maryland. So that's Pat's. And then across the street is Gino's, and that's the one you go to when you want to, you know, take a date. That's kind of how I describe them. But get one of each or two of each because he doesn't like onions, but I'm definitely getting mine wet. You know, we're going to take them up to our very expensive hotel room and eat them. So eat our way basically through Philadelphia. And
right on.
So, and Skyline Tower is so good. Oh my God. I'm so having so much fun putting this trip together. I've been planning the Niagara part of the trip in my mind for 7 years. Like, you know, as soon as I knew there was going to be a total eclipse of the sun up there and it was going to be right on the shadow, I was like, that you can't not go. Right. I'm really hoping. So please, good thoughts, clear weather. That's what I'm hoping.
You're here.
Clear weather. So, and we're at a drive-in, and that just seems so appropriate, you know? It really does.
It's pretty perfect.
It really is. Like, and it's $5, right? I already have our glasses. Genius. I got 5 pairs, so we have more than one, just in case, because, you know, they get damaged easy, so you got to have backup.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't look at the sun until the actual totality. When totality happens, you can actually take off your glasses and look at the sun with the naked eye. And then the diamond kicks in, and that's when you know to put them back on. So it's kind of made. But before that, don't look at the sun directly. You know, it's still the fucking sun.
Pro tip.
But, you know, I'm really curious about the bands that are going to play at the drive-in there because when I went to
If someone doesn't cover Total Eclipse of the Heart, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Well, when I went, it wasn't Total Eclipse of the Heart. It was they played Brain Damage from Dark Side of the Moon right before the totality. And I thought that was pretty cool. And for some reason, having a band before the Total Eclipse is tradition. But I don't know if you've heard all the hysteria that's going associated with this. They're telling people to stock up on food and water and be careful with driving because there's going to be so many people on the road moving around. And it says there was 40 accidents last Total Eclipse directly related to people traveling to locale. People die, but it's such a brouhaha. I can't believe like people are freaking out. It's fucking too hot. What, 2023 or 2024? And people are still scared of eclipses. I mean,
I seriously read today someone saying that, the federal government is going to use the eclipse as an excuse to declare martial law. And I don't even know. People are dumb.
Also, on top of this, just a reminder, there's actually a comet coming through at the same time as the eclipse. And it's got about the same amount of time, like every 70 years, like Halley's Comet. But it's going to be flying. So there's a chance that we're going to actually be able to see it. Huh?
The devil comet.
Yes. Let's get everyone a little more freaked out.
It looks like a skull. Ooh.
Hell
supposedly,
yeah.
Supposedly the ice ball looks like, if you look at it with a telescope, it looks like the Millennium Falcon, which maybe it is. We don't know. But it has a very long tail. It comes around once every 71 years. And its actual peak is going to be April 21st, but we can see it as early with the naked eye as April 8th. So that's the eclipse. So we might have a huge show in the sky, not just a total solar eclipse. So we'll have to find out. And also on top of it, because of amount of solar flare activity, there's record aurora borealis happening too. So we might get to see a northern. Can you imagine if there's a small chance, I'm not saying it's going to happen, that we're going to have a comet, a total eclipse of the sun, and the aurora borealis all in within a couple of days of each other?
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone's going to turn into orange dust.
Purge.
Yeah. We've seen
purge.
That movie.
Immediate purge following. I'm calling it right now.
Oh, it's going to be purge night. Is it purge night in April in the
permanent.
TV movies? I think
permanent
it's actually,
purge.
Permanent purge. Oh, that's the last movie. It wasn't very good.
Permapurge.
So, what is
just
purge
remember,
night?
I called it.
All right. Purge night date.
Okay.
What is purge night date is usually March 21st, so technically it's already happened. So,
and then we missed it?
Yeah,
I forgot the purge.
Damn.
I'm so embarrassed.
I know. We didn't have our chance, man.
We'll just have to stock up for next year.
But purge night. Oh, my God. And so, you know, I'm just going to block out all this negativity. I'm not worried about being unemployed. I'm just going to try to enjoy myself and watch a bunch of fucking wrestling and go see some natural resources and all their splendor.
Here, here.
So, but that's it. That's our preview. There's not much else to talk about. Woo. I mean, there's always something to talk about. I can't wait for Aaron to hear your recap of WonderCon because it's always wonderful. I think our next show could be either the 17th. I think that's going to be our next show. So that'd be Wednesday the 17th. We'll come back and regroup. We'll do a preview of WonderCon. I mean, a recap of WonderCon. We'll talk about our trip. There's also another show here. Deep South Wrestling is going to have their next free show at Das Barbecue on the 14th. So
April
we'll 14th, talk about
and then
April 14th,
and then May 3rd at the Slow Pour Brewery in Lawrenceville. I will be hosting a show there as well.
Yeah, so a lot going on. Oh my goodness, there's so much happening, and I mean this spring just exploded in activity. I mean there's just so much to do right now, and on the 13th of April I'm gonna go we're gonna maybe go to the Plaza. They're showing two things we want to watch. What was the first one, Nathan?
Lady Terminator.
Oh yeah, they're showing Lady Terminator, which is ridiculous.
And along with an exhibition, I cannot remember the name of the gallery that has them, but it is a bunch of remember we were telling you about the really weird posters from Ghana of the movies?
Yeah. Oh, I love
those. They're doing another showing on that day, but in conjunction with their screening of Lady Terminator.
Nathan, the name of it is actually in my clear purse, which is at the end of the coffee table. If you want to get the name, Deadly Prey Gallery. That's the name of
them. Deadly Prey. That's it.
Nice.
And on top of that, there's actually a surprisingly good PBS station here. It's what's the name of the station?
The NPR station?
Yeah. What was it?
I don't remember. That's your department.
Okay. But they are they're hosting a special 40th anniversary screen that same day as Lady Terminator and the Ghana show of This is Spinal Tap, one of my favorite films of all time. So
which we're getting a sequel to.
Yes, we are getting a sequel to it.
Very excited about that. I have a couple movie things, too. Because I'm a member of the Frida, I got a ticket to go see a screening of Hundreds of Beavers with a director Q&A with Mike Cheslick following. And if you haven't seen the trailer for Hundreds of Beavers yet, I highly recommend you do. It looks insane. It's been on the film circuit winning all kinds of awards. All the right people, Film Threat and what have you, say it's just amazing and don't miss. And that looks like a lot of fun. And then I saw a trailer for Sasquatch Sunset, which looks kind of amazing.
Crazy.
And that's going to be all over California and New York with the director at some of the ones here on the West Coast, and I guess Jesse Eisenberg in some of the East Coast showings.
Nice.
So if you get a chance.
We saw the trailer
at,
for that.
Yeah.
Where
crazy, right?
Yeah, we saw it in front of one of the Screen Unseens, actually. The Out of Darkness screening had the
yep.
trailer for that. It was so weird.
I guess director David Zellner is going to be in Century City on Thursday, the 11th of April, Friday, the 12th. He's going to be at the Grove in Los Angeles on the 12th as well. And then a couple shows in Burbank on the 13th, 4 and 7. So I'm going to try and catch one of those.
Well, I mean, it sounds like we're going to be super busy and a lot to talk about on the 17th. So once again, we will be that's our next tentative date for our next episode of Sexy Witches. And we will recap
Excellent.
All the wonderfulness that we're about to do and talk about everything that we have seen and done. And that'll be, we'll just meet back here, same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you as always, Mr. Aaron Kogan, for recapping your adventures in the La La Land. I mean, not
My
everything
total
down
pleasure.
There is crazy, but usually it is. Mr. Nathan, and bringing Georgia into a little Hollywood into our world. And we'll have a lot more stuff to talk about over the year at the Plaza Theater, which is our big movie house there, because Buried Alive Film Festival is staring us in the face. And one of our friends actually caught it. So
yep.
They're starting to plan that. And so we might be volunteering to help with them. He'll have the time right now. So we have a lot. Even though this is my final season of Sexy Witches, there's still a lot to do and a lot to talk about. And thank you all for being here. Once again, we will be back on the 17th. Aaron, where can they find you on the interwebs?
Oh, you can find me as Winslow Leach from one of my absolute favorite musicals of all time. You get bonus points if you guess which one. I'm the Winslow Leach on Facebook that currently has the Dungeons and Dragons deities and gods cover for my avatar, the reason being that we just recently lost one of the gentlemen who put that together, and that was my first real Dungeons and Dragons thing. And then on Twitter, I am Captain Antifa, nah, just Antifa.
And Nathan, where can they find you on the interwebs, even though you've been hiding a lot lately?
Yeah, I've kind of forsaken social media, and every now and then I'll be like, yeah, I should get back on social media, and then within a couple of days it reminds me why I don't. But but you can find me, I'm just Nathan Hamilton, my real name. And also check out Deep South Wrestling on there. So that's the best place to keep up with everything that's going on there. And, hey, if you happen to see us at WrestleMania weekend or in Niagara Falls, come say hi.
Yeah, please do. And you can find me. My best place is Elizabeth Catherine Gray, which is my Facebook profile. And if you're interested, I've been bookmarking every single major event in related to the total eclipse of the sun in the United States. So if you can't go to Niagara Falls, it's running from Texas all the way up to Canada. There's something to do. Even people in Philly, even if I was going to say Canada fell off the face of the earth, even in Philly, we could drive east and hit the total eclipse of the sun. We could follow the shadow up if we wanted to. So look at those, and you can go and check those out. I've been hitting all those event pages. Not that I'm going to any of them, just so people can find them. On Twitters and on Facebook, we're at the Sexy Witches. And anybody else wants to get a hold of me, like I said, the best way to do it is my main profile, Elizabeth Catherine Gray. But just be aware, I don't just talk about the stuff I do on this show. I also talk about pretty much anything related to nerdy stuff, including science and science fiction. We also have three groups. We have the FB Film Greek Circle, which has started since the beginning of Facebook, which is my general film, the Halloween Horror Movie Marathon Madness, which next month will also have our theme announcement coming up for this year, very soon, for the
My How Time Flies.
16th annual
right.
Madness, and we do know what the theme is this year. And we also have, well, let's just say it's all about dysfunction this year.
Oh.
Figure that out. Well, we'll talk about that more later. Oh. And we also have the small but significant science fiction and fantasy group, the Rogues of Tashi Station, which I mentioned earlier, but we also talk about hardcore nerd science stuff there as well. And this is the perfect
yep.
time of year with all the events happening related to the sky. I'm a huge proponent of
the
dark
skies.
So, you know, look to the skies, people. There's so much happening. And thank you all for live. We're going to leave you tonight with our fantasy booking. We get to finally see Minoru Suzuki from Japan. For people that don't know who he is,
nice.
He's the guy that wears the towel on his head as he walks on the stage. That's it. And he's Murder
AKA
Grandpa.
AKA Murder Grandpa.
Yeah, terrifying dude. Don't fuck with this guy. He's literally can kick your ass because he used to be MMA as well.
When we first said that we were going to WrestleMania weekend, my one thing was the first thing I said was, how cool would it be if we got to see Minoru Suzuki? Like that was the one like bucket list item. Like I was so, and one of the first matches they announced for that spring break show was Minoru Suzuki. And his song is famous because there's one line where he always, as he makes his entrance, he looks out to the crowd and everyone in unison screams Kaze ni nare, which means become the wind. And it's a cool moment with, like, you know, thousands of people screaming the same line at the same time. And it's one of those cool experiences that I'm glad I'm going to finally have. And we are going to leave you with that song.
So anyway, good night, everyone. We are the wind. Look to the skies. Blessed be. Good film hunting. And we'll be back on the 7th. Good night now, everyone.
Cool.